This week on the Silver and Black Show, the Raiders make their long-awaited return to the Coliseum to take on the Denver Broncos. In our Hawaiian Airlines overview, I sit down with emerging rookie defensive tackle Trayvon Hester, and Lincoln Kennedy breaks down the Broncos' secondary in Chalk Talk. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
Paxton is a talent. He's our first-round pick. We're trying to change what's happened offensively. So it's simply his turn. You know, we obviously changed coordinators on Monday, and we're hoping to, again, guys, play better offensively and not turn the football over. Very simple.
I was excited, obviously, about it, to get my opportunity, especially being hurt all season, not being able to even practice or throw a ball. So, you know, I was itching to get out here, but now that I got out here, it feels good. To get back into the swing of things, and I'm excited about Sunday now.
Looking at the Broncos, a really good football team that's had some struggles. Their defense is playing outstanding. Their offense is running the ball just about as well as anybody out there. They're making a change at quarterback, and we're getting ourselves ready to go with Paxton Lynch. You know, they're putting together a package where he'll be most comfortable. They've been running the ball very well. Obviously, any quarterback appreciates a good run game. So, you know, clearly that'll be a point of emphasis for him.
Well, John's been there 10 weeks, guys, so it won't be a wholesale change. It's going to be some things, how he called things different than Ken Norton, but as far as the overall scheme of things, that won't change much.
The Raiders return home. Welcome to Week 12 of the Silver and Black Show. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumas, alongside two-time Super Bowl champion Jim Plunkett. And Jim, before we get into the matchup against the Broncos, a lot of the fans are disappointed at this point in the season, but there's still hope for the Raiders. If you look at this division, they're just one game out of the wild card, two games back in the division. There's six games left to play. Stranger things have happened. Have you ever been on a team like this where you're able to flip the switch, and how did you do it?
Well, the closest I've been a part of a team like this when we started 2-3 in 1980. Pastorini was a quarterback at the time. He got injured. I took over, and we went on a 11-2 run to end the season and a wild card berth into the playoffs and eventually the Super Bowl. So things like that can happen. And you take a look at this year, you take a look at New Orleans, and they started 0-2. Now they're 8-2. So they put a good string together. And, you know, that's what the Raiders are going to have to do if they want to get in this race.
Now let's get to our headlines, because there have been a lot of changes for both teams with the Raiders and the Broncos. Our first headline, here we go, Pagano. On Tuesday of this week, head coach Jack Del Rio made the decision to move on from Ken Norton Jr. as defensive coordinator and hand over the play calling duties to assistant head coach John Pagano. Pagano is in his first season with the Raiders, but prior to him donning the silver and black, he ran the Chargers defense from 2012 to 2016. In those five seasons, the Chargers on average ranked in the top half of the league, and last season finished tied for a league best 18 interceptions. Jim, when you make a move like this, how difficult will it be schematically for the Raiders to transition?
Well, I don't think they're going to do a lot of changes under Pagano. Obviously, he's going to be calling the plays now. It'll get a little different. He's going to have his own personality injected into the defensive calls. But, you know, he's had some success with San Diego. He knows what he's doing. He's a longtime defensive coordinator in this league. So, you know, he's going to make changes that hopefully will help turn this defense around and make some stops and finally get some interceptions as well.
Now looking at the Broncos' changes, our second headline, an old friend. The Raiders were not the only team to shake up their coaching staff this week. The Broncos let go of offensive coordinator Mike McCoy and promoted quarterbacks coach and former Raiders offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave. Musgrave led the Silver and Black last year to a top 10 offense in yards and scoring and now takes over for a struggling Denver offense that is bottom 10 in scoring. So, Jim, now that Musgrave has taken over play calling duties, a familiar face there, is there any advantage or tips that Jack Del Rio can give Pagano moving forward, or vice versa?
Well, as I said about Pagano, personality plays a big role in this, and Bill Musgrave did certain things in certain situations, and obviously that's all on video. Everybody knows what everybody else is doing. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. Bill Musgrave's very experienced offensive coordinator. He does a good job in moving the ball around and getting the ball to different receivers and with the running game. So, you know, challenges are going to have to be met. But, you know, I think the Raiders will be well prepared for Bill Musgrave.
Well, and a new signal caller this week for Denver. That leads us to our third headline, the other Lynch. The Broncos have named their second-year quarterback Paxton Lynch the starter against Oakland in Week 12. He was drafted in the first round of 2016 and hasn't performed up to the status thus far, but Sunday he'll get his first opportunity to claim the starting job. Jim, do you see the Broncos adjusting their offense to fit this inexperienced signal caller? What changes can the Raiders expect there?
Well, I think initially they're going to help him out by throwing quick passes, getting rid of the ball quickly, maybe some screens, try to keep him out of trouble for a while. You know, he's their first-round pick last year in 2016. He's inexperienced, and what I think the Raiders need to do is pressure him, go after him, make him uncomfortable in the pocket. I think it'll go a long way in slowing down that Denver offense, which is already struggling.
All right, a lot more in this matchup as we continue here on the Silver and Black Show.
Be early. Thank you. You're used to that. Yes, sir.
Pre-count, you know, just out here trying to get better each day. It's surreal, you know. I mean, this is everything I dreamed of. I'm being able to live out a childhood dream. So, you know, I just got to make it happen. Coming from the university I came from, they taught us competition. They taught us that you got to come fight for your spot every day. And you got to be ready to make a name for yourself every day, every play. So, you know, no plays off.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. I'm alongside rookie Trayvon Hester, seventh round pick. There were only 10 selections left. What was that moment like for you in the seventh round hearing your name called?
It was a great experience. You know, lifetime journey that I was waiting for my whole life. And, you know, just to get the call and to know that I'm going to be going somewhere to play football, it was just a dream come true.
Well, you had to make the team, and you did. When you found out that you made the 53-man roster, what was that day like for you, and who was the first call you made?
The first call was definitely to my mother. You know, she shared so much memories with me and just helped me out and helped me grow to be the man I am now. So, you know, just to let her know that a little bit of burden is off her part is just great to be able to tell her that, and it was just a blessed day.
You're an unbelievable story, one of my favorite stories. And there was also an unbelievable moment for you, a milestone of sorts, as you got to buy your mom a car recently.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that you've been wanting to do your whole life? You get your first paycheck, and that was one of your first purchases?
Yeah, definitely. Just growing up where I'm from, you know, my mom never really had a reliable car to rely on it. So, you know, just growing up, I always wanted to be able to provide for her and just help her out and just make it a little easier on her part. And so, you know, I got to do that a little bit, and it's just great to be able to do that.
Was it a complete surprise? Did you pick out the car? Did she tell you what she wanted? How did it go down?
Well, it was half and half. You know, I couldn't just pick a car because I didn't want to just come back and she didn't.
Right. She wasn't feeling it.
So I gave her a couple of choices of what she would like to get, and she picked a Jeep, and so we went to the Jeep dealership, and whatever one she liked, you know, we just got it.
Very cool. So now let's switch to football a little bit. You're getting 40% of the defensive snaps. So take me through the playing time that you're seeing and the progression this season.
Well, you know, it's just trying to adjust, just trying to, you know, get better each week, just trying to you know, progress and help my guys out. You know, I got great leaders in the D-line room with K-Mac and Bruce Irving and Big Jelly. And, you know, they help us out a lot. And, you know, they stay on us. You know, they tell us what we're doing wrong, and they encourage us a lot. So, you know, I mean, my job is easy. All I got to do is just go out there and play.
So I've heard it's good cop, bad cop when it comes to Irvin and Mac. What are those personalities like when they motivate you? I'm assuming it's in different ways.
Yeah, definitely. K-Mac, he's a lot more calmer than Bruce is. You know, he'll tell you what you're doing wrong, or he'll encourage you a lot more. Bruce, he'll just, you know, get on you. He's a lot tougher, but, you know, that's what you need sometimes. You know, you need the good cop, bad cop kind of vibe, because you know you know who has your best interest.
A lot of rookies talk about the speed of the NFL, how much you have to learn going in. What has it been like, the transition for you coming from college to the NFL? What's been your biggest obstacle?
Oh man, just managing my time. You know, time management is one of the biggest differences here. You know, you got so much to do, you know, throughout the day. Just with this job, you know, it could get overwhelming. And, you know, just having the right people on your side and on your team, you know, it's easier for you to go out there and just have fun and be the best player you can be.
So you guys have 6 weeks left, and even though there has been some disappointment this season, you're very much still in it. What is the focus the final 6 weeks here?
Well, everything that we got for these last six games, you know, we got six games left. The plan is to play each game one by one and take it one game at a time. And so right now we're focusing on week one against the Broncos, and mm-hmm. we just got to keep it going.
All right, so week 12 is a Thanksgiving week. So when we get to our five questions, they are Thanksgiving-themed. What's your favorite dish Thanksgiving Day?
My favorite dish would definitely be sweet potatoes.
And how are they prepared? Does your mom do the cooking? Who does the cooking?
Yeah, my mom does the cooking. You know, sometimes I try to go in there a little bit and help her out. You know, steal a little bit of secret recipes from her. But, yeah, my mom, she does it all.
No disrespect to your mom, but is there one dish that you're going to pass on, that you just, it's not going to make it on your plate?
Oh, never. Never. I didn't get this big for no reason. You know, my mom knows how to cook. She's a great cook. You know, she knows what she's doing. She feeds a lot of people. You know, I'm second to the oldest out of 11. So, you know, she definitely knows what she's doing.
If it's food, it's on your plate.
Yeah.
What do you do in your free time? What's your favorite non-football activity?
Honestly, you know, I mean, myself, I'm a laid back kind of guy. I just like to chill and relax, you know, watch movies, play video games, whatever I can do to just ease off, take the ease off of the work day and mm-hmm. just take a load off.
I'm all about that. Just sit in pajamas
and
relax.
Yeah.
So what's a common misconception about you? Something that people get wrong?
Probably that, I'm just a big fair guy or something like that. Like, I play defensive tackle.
Right, a big angry defensive tackle. Yeah, I'm not getting that from you right now.
You know, somebody who you probably can't approach or something mm-hmm. like that. But all in all, you know what I mean, if you really get to know me, I'm a great guy. You know what I mean, I'm very open to conversation. I like to talk. I like to joke around. I like to have fun. And, you know, it's easy once you get to know me.
So final question here. Something that you're not good at that you wish you were?
Something that I'm not good at that I wish I was, drawing. I
really?
Always really wanted to learn how to draw or, like, know how to draw. Because, like, I used to see people, like, in classrooms, you know, just throughout the day just drawing, like, nice little pictures. And I'll be like, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. You know, I'm a great stick figure drawer, but that's about it.
Yeah. X's and O's. Yeah. That's all you have to worry about. Trayvon, thank you so much for taking the time. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
A lot more to come here on the Silver and Black Show. The holiday season is upon us, and even though the Raiders are busy preparing for their matchup against the Denver Broncos, they took some time to join in on the festivities and hand out Thanksgiving dinners to needy families in the Bay Area.
It was just an easy, no-brainer thing to do around the holidays, a chance for us to give back and do something as a team, just give back to the city of Oakland. It's been a good time so far. Got a lot of cars coming through, and hopefully a lot of people getting some meals for Thanksgiving and help them have a nicer holiday. Don Penn brought this thing from Tampa, but we're all in this together, so we're out here supporting him and trying to give back.
You better stop. I'm going to grab the turkeys then. Who cooking? You cooking?
Yeah.
Huh? You going to put it down?
Yeah.
All right.
How y'all doing?
I know. Who doing the cooking? You doing the cooking, Mama? Okay, okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Have a good one, all right?
From all of us here at the Raiders, we hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and continue to have a great holiday season. Lincoln Kennedy seems to be in the giving mood lately, and he shares with us in this week's Chalk Talk why the normally stout Denver secondary has been struggling lately.
Hey class, Professor Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. The Broncos are coming to town. Let's take a look at some of the coverage teams that they run in the past. I think they're being really susceptible. They were known sometime as the no-fly zone, but because they're on a losing streak and they're having difficulties with these coverages, I think it's something that Derek Carr and the offense can really take advantage of. Let's take a look at the Eagles game. Eagles are going to have a run-pass option. The coverage is man, one free. Aqib Talib is going to be one-on-one on Alshon Jeffries. His responsibility is to stay with the receiver. But Aqib is notorious for keeping his eyes in the backfield and wanting to see what the quarterback does. This time it counts against him. Let's take a look at the play. Carson Wentz knows he's got man coverage. Von Miller, because his delay allows Carson Wentz to have a chance to get that pass out. Watch Aqib Talib's eyes at the bottom of the screen. He gets caught with his eyes in the backfield. Alshon Jeffries run right by him. 33-yard touchdown catch. Take a look at the New England game. New England's out with double tights. The Broncos are in man coverage. Shane Ray is going to have Bennett down in the bottom of the screen. Safety's going to have Gronk because they want Von Miller to rush. Broncos are always going to rush four. They're going to play man coverage on the top. Where you can get people in trouble with man coverage is crossing routes or pick routes. In this instance, Shane Ray is going to do a good job of bumping Bennett, but then he's going to take his eyes to the backfield as the back tries to sneak out. That's not his man. That man belongs to Todd Davis, but there's some confusion, and that's the way that you can disrupt this man coverage. Let's take a look. Start of the play. Shane Ray is going to bump Bennett like he's supposed to. Keep him on the line. Delay the timing. But when Davis and Ray get bumped, Ray thinks that he's got the running back coming out of the backfield. Leaves Bennett wide open. Come up with 27-yard pitch and catch. Big play by the Patriots offense that time. Let's go to the Bengals game. Now, the Broncos are covering what I call a cover three. Deep third, deep third, deep third. Also, you've got flat, curl, curl, flat. Four-man rush. Where the Broncos mess up here is that their linebackers, one, don't drive deep enough to the curl route to take it away. But if you have any time, any type of protection against this defense, there are angles that you can strike because there's going to be holes open here and here. And in this instance, the Cincinnati Bengals exploit the deep corner to LaFell. Let's take a look at the play. You've got a basic four-man rush. The Broncos are going to their zone coverage. Now, as they go to the particular areas, look how LaFell is coming wide open on a crossing route. And because Justin Simmons, the safety, is way too deep, he has no chance of getting there. Turns out to be a very big play of 29 yards. So in closing, my advice to the offense is this. First and foremost, it stands up with protection. You got to be able to protect him, keep Derek Carr clean. The Broncos are going to rush four, sometimes five. If they blitz, you make them pay. But if they back up and they play zone coverages like this, there are big holes if you give Derek Carr time. Secondly, crossing routes. Crossing routes disrupt the man coverage. And more importantly, when you have crossing routes, it allows you to get big yards after the catch because you don't have as many people behind it. And last but not least, let's understand something. This is no more than no-fly zone defense. They've been exploited this year and they're worn down. So it's a great opportunity for the Raiders to get back on track and win the game. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk. I'm Professor Kennedy. See you next week.
Thanks as always, Lincoln, and we look forward to the Raiders offense putting on a show against their home crowd on Sunday. Up next, Jim Plunkett and I continue to break down this Week 12 matchup against the Denver Broncos. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Jim, Lincoln broke down the Broncos secondary earlier, why they may be struggling, but there's still a tough matchup for the Raiders wide receivers. How can the Raiders throw the Broncos secondary off their game a little bit?
You know, personally, you know, I'm old school. I take shots down the field, make them nervous, make them think that you might be going down the field, going long, almost any play of the game. Put pressure on them. Don't let them settle for the short passes that the Raiders have been doing a lot of this year, and just go after them. You know, make them cover the guy down the field instead of always coming up to make the tackle after they catch a short pass. So, you know, I say go for it.
When I think pressure in this matchup, I think of Von Miller. He had a sack in the first matchup when these two faced each other. What do you do about Von Miller? Do you just stay away from him?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, obviously you go at him in the running game and because he's much more dangerous, I think, if he's chasing down a running back. And number two, you know, chip him, you know, make it difficult for him to get to the quarterback. And as you said, he only had one sack last time they played, and I think that's pretty darn good. So I think the offensive line did a very good job on him last time.
Okay, so what's one Raiders player? Who are you focusing on to have a big game against the Broncos this week?
You know, I'd like to see Derek Carr, have a huge game against this team. I think it would really help his confidence. I know the offense is struggling overall, and it's not any one guy. It's not just the quarterback, and it's not just the running backs. It's the offensive line. It's everybody working together, and the receivers, you know, have to help him out a little bit. They've had a few drops this season in general, and you know, it's time to put a big game together.
It would be nice to see Derek Carr step up this week. Now, what is one area of focus? It's time for Plunkett's pick. One area of focus that you're looking at, the difference maker for the Raiders to get the win over the Broncos this week.
You know, I think it's the D-line. I think they need to put pressure on a young quarterback in Paxton Lynch, who hasn't played very much. He's just coming off an injury that he occurred during the preseason. You know, make him uncomfortable, make him throw when he doesn't want to throw, and you know, hopefully that'll lead to maybe the Raiders' first interception of the season. They can put pressure on Paxton Lynch.
All right, Jim, thank you. That's going to do it for this edition of the Silver and Black Show. Make sure you tune in next week as the Raiders stay home and they welcome the New York Football Giants. For Trayvon Hester, Jim Plunkett, and all of us here at Silver and Black Productions, thanks for watching, and go Raiders!